This morning, if I were to test your memory on the best TV sitcoms, I might give you some familiar words which reminded you of your favorite scenes. But I won't do that today because it's very early on our May Fate morning, and like you, I may not be as alert as I would like to be for this type of game. But instead, I would ask that you travel back in time with me and reflect upon your favorite childhood television or radio shows. Some of us might think of The Andy Griffin Show, and perhaps some would think about Petticoat Junction or The Jeffersons. All of the above mentioned were watched in my home by my sisters and I, but one of my all-time favorite shows during childhood was Gilligan's Island. I think what made the show so interesting was the unique and different personalities of each of the castaways. If you recall, the skipper was smart and fearless, a born leader. The Howells were extremely rich, and they knew how to handle anything that required a knack for business. Marianne was the comforter and encourager, always ready with a coconut pie for anyone who felt sad or depressed. Ginger could act and entertain. The professor was a great inventor and could figure out a way to solve any problem except how to escape being stranded on a tropical island. And Gilligan. Gilligan was the castaway with a servant's heart. He would do anything for anyone, even though he would usually cause a bit of chaos. But in everything he did, it was always done with compassion and care. Gilligan's Island was a wonderful show, and it was a vivid model of communal living. The castaways survived because they complemented one another's strengths, and they worked together. Because of their camaraderie, they were able to handle any of the challenges which came their way. Each member had a sense of belonging, and their gifts and talents were equally important and equally necessary. Each member felt the sense of support that the others provided, and they each, I believe, grew to know that their lives were totally intertwined, totally interdependent upon one another. In one memorable episode, Gilligan was feeling upset and a little unloved, so he moved to the other side of the island. Gilligan quickly realized that he couldn't survive without the support of others. Apart from his friends, he lost the sense of wholeness, which comes through community, and he truly experienced the quote, "No man or woman is an island unto themselves." Gilligan realized that he needed the other castaways, and the castaways needed him. By separating himself, he came to realize that together they could accomplish many things that he could never accomplish alone. Gilligan's Island is a true picture of community, where a group of people, while maintaining their individuality and uniqueness, bonded together to share in one another's lives and move towards one common goal. And in this case, it was to continuously work to find a way home. I believe there is much that we can learn from Gilligan's Island, and I believe that this is the very type of kinship and togetherness that we see in the early church in Acts. And I would take one more step ahead and say, this is what we also need to see in our church and communities today. A community can be defined as a unified body of individuals with common character and common interests who share joint ownership and participation in society. The early church fit this definition, but what was it that really made them a community? Acts 2 says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and prayer. And if you note, verse 42 begins with, they devoted themselves, or literally, they continued steadfastly. They committed themselves. Another translation says, they were like family together. In other words, a community was not a one-time commitment or a single religious duty, but a total commitment to fellowship as a lifestyle. The devotion of the early Christians was not merely an emotional attachment, but a devoted connectivity, which was authenticated by their strength and commitment, their steadfastness, and their determination. The early church understood their lives were tethered to one another. The believers had much in common, but they were not clones, and there was tremendous diversity among them. Acts also tells us that the group of people that were saved and became the early church were made up of people from all over the world. And even though they each brought their own personalities, uniqueness, and gifts, at the core, at the center of it all, there was common ground. But there is, of course, another downside to a shared life. While our hearts and minds may long for a high regard to the other, in our humanity, we also often run from it. It has been said that when humankind fell from grace, we also inherited not only a tendency to hide from God, but a tendency to hide from one another and to struggle with our conflicting behaviors. On one hand, we desire to be close to one another, and on the other, we want to hold one another at arm's length. We have also inherited the trait to be suspicious of others' motives. At times, we may have been taken advantage of, and in fear of being burned again, we erect barriers instead of seeking resolution and wholeness. And it is within these spaces where we effectively insulate ourselves from one another and become an impediment to true community building. When we begin the spiritual work of becoming a beloved community, we begin with a common goal, and it is through this space that together we develop a skill set to work through problems and conflicts. You and I were created to be communal. We were created to have intimate relationships, to serve people lavishly, to share our time, talents, and substance with those around us. We were created to surround ourselves with supporters to whom we can entrust the secrets of our hearts and to be able to share in laughter, praise, prayer, and tears. It has always been God's desire that we band together in order to advance the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Just as that group of followers of long ago, our church is made up of very unique individuals, and becoming a community does not mean we lose those gifts. Our community needs all of our unique talents. Our community needs our distinctive perspectives and viewpoints, our personal quirks, and our varied humor. But we must also recognize that when we share space with an assortment of personality types, spanning generations, there is always the potential for conflict. The early church was unified, but as you read through Paul's letters, you will find conflict lived among them. And just as it occurred then, it still is true today. In our common lives together, conflict has the potential to tear away at the ties which bind us. But the community which is able to rise above this is a community which is able to concentrate more on commonalities instead of differences. Jesus prayed in John that we might be one, even as he and the Father were one. He said, I have given them the glory that God gave him, that we may be one. I in them and you in me. It is through this prayer that we are commanded to move through our differences. And in doing so, we must realize many walls have to fall down. The wall of suspicion has to be replaced with openness. Uncertainty has to be replaced with willingness. And fear has to be replaced with love. The Holy Spirit of God moved in and produced unity in the early church because they wanted to profess the light and love of Christ. I believe that deep down within us, we all long to do the same. The early church wanted to be together. They wanted to be connected with one another because they truly valued community over seclusion. I believe that what occurred in the life of the early church can happen for us today. We too can be so empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit, united in vision and in our love and concern for one another. The whole purpose of us being one is not to bask in our oneness, but to join together with a common purpose. We too have been empowered to become a people who make a difference in this world, if we are people in whose lives Christ has made a difference. Rick Warren simply states it this way. The Bible says we are put together, joined together, built together, members together, heirs together, fitted together, held together, and we will be caught up together and spend eternity together. May we each be challenged to this great commission and devote ourselves and our lives to becoming a true and authentic community. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, may this work begin among us right now. Amen.